Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Brian just gave me a head nod, which means it's time to start the After Things. After Things is where we talk about stuff after things. And a couple little things to talk about this week, little developments here. But meanwhile, Brian and Justin are in South by Southwest.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Right here in Austin, Texas, at the visionary future of interactive technologies.
The visionary future of people paying for parties.
Yes, and paying a lot of money for overcrowded panels that they can't get into. Yep. And then parties that they are able to get into, but they weren't able to get into the VIP section of. So they pout and they drink themselves silly.
It's a lovely thing. Friend asked me if I wanted to go to the Disney D23 Expo, and I'm like, listen, like I go to very, very few conventions or conferences. I said, I'm going to Star Wars Celebration because I want to walk the floor. I want to be there when, you know, that this year of that. I want to see what's there. I don't see myself. We'll see. Justin will be there. We might talk ourselves into waiting for some panels and stuff, but I don't wait 5 hours to get into a panel.
Man,
I don't.
No, I'm like you. I don't do lines. I mean, unless the line is the destination, for example, for an iPhone, like I would choose to go wait in the line because the line is the feeling, the experience.
Yeah, like I would wait in the line for the Apple Watch if I was waiting with you guys.
One of my fondest memories was waiting in line for the Apple iPhone 1. This giddy excitement, this feeling that we're, you know, about to be at something precious and special. Absolutely.
But yeah, to wait in line for a panel, like, well, I'll read a digest of it a day later and get that. It's a different kind of experience. Some people love that. So.
Or it's like I don't care if we are physically, like when we go to Celebration, if, you know, they have the J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy panel where, you know, theoretically they could show, you know, the trailer or something for the first time or a teaser, another teaser, like, I would be fine going to the overflow room with it on a simulcast and not necessarily kill ourselves to be in the room physically with them. So
I've seen that a lot.
Squint.
Well, and nowadays that so much stuff is so easily and well live streamed, you know, like it was great watching the Apple keynote and whatever it was they're doing. Same thing, like it totally kind of killed my excitement for wanting to go to places like E3 anymore. Cause like when you go to physically go to E3, you run around hoping that you're going to encounter the good stuff, but you don't know what it is. But if you virtually try to experience E3 you know, curated, like, hey, if you're into this kind of thing, this is what you're going to want to hear. Here's the live stream announcement that you're going to want to tune in for. I've had much better experiences at E3 since I stopped going to E3.
Yeah. I think there are certainly some things are great because of community, you know. I hear this upcoming Dragon Con is going to be off the hook for some reason.
It will.
you know, I already got my hotel for that. And that's why I'm going, for the community. But anyhow, just a thought, just throw that out there. And what I want to get about to here is I launched a product this week.
Yeah. Can I show pictures of it?
Certainly. You're like, Andrew, you're a writer. You're a man of ideas and television. Why would you create a physical product in this day and age? It's the 21st century. Why would you do this? That's so primitive. Physical atoms, things like that. Things bound together with molecular forces.
This is the first physical product you've released in how many years? Yeah, five or six. I mean, even like a DVD with a physical gimmick component or something like that.
It's been a while.
And a very long time.
Why did I do this?
If you could send me or email it to me, I guess I can't
go to thetriggerclip.com.
Oh, great. Thetriggerclip.com. Awesome. I didn't know the website was up. Dude, it looks so boss. It's for those of you guys who don't know, magicians love keeping their cards pristine. If you put a deck of cards in your jeans pocket, they have a tendency to get humidity and get wrinkled and kind of bowed out, which makes it hard to do some tricks. So you can get like steel. There are fancy clips that you can do. In this case, this is one with a built-in, if I'm understanding it right, a place for rubber bands and a a Sharpie. Do you have one there by any chance?
I do. I do. I actually have
fresh
I'll show
off,
you.
Fresh off the printer. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll show you one of what it looks like now. But click on that to click the seat and act. There you go.
Oh, that's great. There you go. So you got the card in there. You're able to, you got a place for a Sharpie, which of course is important to magicians. Place for your rubber bands. And then did I see like it does a click thing where it'll eject it or something?
You can snap the bottom of the Sharpie and the Sharpie will shoot out.
Oh, that's great. Very cool. So it's basically you simulate a mechanical aspect of it by just pinching the bottom.
I have one in my hands right here. So this is made from – so it started off like I was going to go do – when I went to go – you know, every now and then I'll do a corporate show. I'll do like a corporate thing or something like that. And they're like, oh, you know, we'll pay you to, you know, walk around or just, you know, go to a room and just do 10 minutes for like, you know, these people or whatever like that, you know. And often, you know, for something like that, it's like I bring a deck of cards, I bring a Sharpie, I bring some stuff like that. You know, it's like going to VIP suite or whatever like that and entertain some people for a little bit. And, you know, like, hey, it's the guy from Basic Cable. So we're rich and we don't watch TV, but we'll take your word on that. We watch special TV you never heard of. So like I always noticed whenever I'd go do that, I'd grab my Sharpie, I'd grab a deck of cards and some rubber bands. And, you know, the conventional thing is to wrap the Sharpie and the rubber bands around the deck of cards together, which when you then go to – and either you can put them all in your pockets and then separate them or go in front of people and disassemble something like, oh, excuse me, I got this, you know. And I thought, like, man, it'd be cool to come up with sort of just something really simple and cool that was neat. And I thought, well, what if I made a case that held the Sharpie here and put the deck of cards there? And I thought, like, oh, I could do a thing on the side to hold the rubber bands. And the design sort of created itself. This is a very rough prototype. The normal ones I have over here, I'll show you, are much smoother. But anyhow,
real quick, if we could pause on the development side, because what's interesting is the medium is the method, or is the message in here, because you had this idea. You were able to use a 3D printer to prototype it.
Well, I'm getting to that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So I had an idea for this. It'd be something cool at some point to go make or whatever. And then, you know, I've been playing out with my 3D printer. And then I'm like, oh, you know, that thing I wanted to make, maybe I should just go make it. So I opened up Tinkercad. And actually, I did. Yeah, I've been using SketchUp, but I started using Tinkercad. And Tinkercad, I started drawing the specs of it. And then, you know, you have to figure out, like, there's what it says online, what your dimensions are. And then there's what the real world says a dimension is. And you go through prototypes.
Oh, geez. Yeah, these are Island of Misfit toys, I'm assuming.
Yeah, these ones are made of ABS, whatever. So I went through a lot of prototypes before I started using, like, a lot of red ones. And like, each one, just tweaking it a little bit more. And, like, sometimes, like, I put little symbols inside of it to keep track of them. So iteration after iteration, trying to get this thing right. But, you know, eventually, you know, stumbling upon a version that looks right online and then 3D prints right. And then I went through materials. I didn't just want to make it out of ABS plastic. And I found out there was a brand new filament that was made from a carbon fiber material. And there's actually two companies that make them. One company, I tried theirs and the thing just shattered like an eggshell. I'm like, well, it looked pretty. And then I found another company which made it, which was a very, very, very strong. I'm going to try to, this is a cross section here. I mean, and it's a strong, people, I've been taking around the Magic Castle showing to people and they pick this thing up and they hold it. So it's made from a composite plastic and then like carbon fiber filaments in there. So you get, it's lightweight. It gets very, very strong. It's rigid where the ABS one's nice. I'm like, if I could make one out of black ABS, I mean, I could do it in no time, but the ABS is a nice material, but this feels so much better. This doesn't feel like plastic. But what's cool is, so I made my prototype. I'm like, oh, let's make a prototype, let's see. And I printed it out. And then I realized when I printed it out, what's cool about 3D printing for our audio listeners, I'm showing a cross section here. You can see this honeycomb pattern inside of there.
Does it do that automatically or you built that?
So when you design something, you design the exterior surface of your object and then you import it into a program, which is basically a slicer, and it figures out how to build it up layer by layer. And then it looks at the hollow spaces and you can say, use this many shells, fill this up with X number of material. I could say make this 100% solid, or I can just do, say, 15% fill. I can adjust the fill rate. But by doing that, that allows me to give this thing – I could not injection mold print this. I could not injection mold print this with this interior structure. It would have to be solid plastic, which would not be as strong because, you know, fracture lines or fault lines would go all the way through. But because I was able to 3D print this, I could control the interior size of this. So I got a very strong, very, very strong, very, very strong support, but it's very lightweight. You pick this thing up and it's very, very, very light compared to if I made it out of solid ABS or something. Plus, it's carbon fiber. So I made this prototype and I looked at it and said, oh, this is really cool. And this is made of carbon fiber. And I'm thinking, well, how do I want to manufacture these? I'm like, I could go, you know, I could take my final design and I could, you know, I could go send it to somebody who, a mold maker in China, and then.
And then everyone would have them.
Well, everybody will have these eventually. Anyway.
Well, no, but I mean, that's the point, is like, is just that, you know, China is notorious for knockoffs, and it's difficult because there are, you know, you have to find a supplier that you trust, and there's.
And there's making sure that, and then you get them and it's a little bit too small and you just order 10,000 pieces that won't fit a standard deck of cards. There was like that. Right. There's, you know, set up an injection molding, you know, it could be a $10,000 expense, you know, before I see the first one. Somebody says, oh, Shapeways. Yeah, Shapeways is fantastic. You wonder how much this sucker will cost on Shapeways to have them make?
You know,
Shapeways is an online 3D printing bureau. $70. $70 to get the sucker made out of ABS plastic or resin on Shapeways. $60 or $70.
Wow.
Okay. Shapeways is great if you want it out of a material other than plastic. Shapeways is great, but it's ridiculously expensive to do stuff there. There's another company.
By the way, Shapeways has gadgets, accessories, jewelry, art, home, games, miniatures, beta, and My Little Pony as the top level of
look at how much menu. Like a My Little Pony thing is on there. I mean, and Shapeways is a great technology. For those of you who don't know what Shapeways is you send them your design, and then they will, you can choose the materials you print it out of, and they will print you a one-off of it. You don't even have to have, you can use an online program like Tinkercad.com for free, create something, and then within Tinkercad you can say send it to a printer, and so Shapeways is an option, Sculptio, whatever. So they have these really beautiful My Little Pony things. These suckers are 6 centimeters tall, and the cheapest one's like $25.
Yeah, for uncolored. Or yeah, so, yeah. Wow.
And again, these prices will fall, but that I looked at oh, what will it cost to have Shapeways send me one? It was ridiculously expensive. It was not a practical thing. I found, you know, another group like Make XYZ, they would be a little more cost effective, but it would only be ABS. They wouldn't be able to do the carbon fiber material because it's a brand new material. I contacted them and then they said to me, this looks like a gun part. We can't make it. And I went through that. And then that got really clarified. They were super cool. They're super nice. And I get it. Anyhow, the problem was nobody was, you know, this material. I liked the material. I contacted the company. I said, I'd like to buy a bunch of this from you. Can you give me a discount? I'm like, oh, just fill out our reseller form. I said, I'm not a reseller. I'm a manufacturer. They're like, really? I go, yeah. They said, oh, you would be our first manufacturer using our material.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's rad.
So I'm like, oh, that's ahead of the curve. So anyhow, I said, you know what? I've got 3D printers. I've got some friends that are into 3D printing, and so I'm looking to set up a little 3D printing factory, probably in a buddy's garage or something like that, and just do that. I've been making the ones, like I have a pre-order right now, I'll be shipping on Monday. I've been making those myself, you know, here, but I'm going to basically.
Well, here's the funny part is two things are happening. First of all, Penelope for 3 years now has been on us to get a 3D printer, and I keep telling her that I don't think it's where it needs to be for you know, for me and a kid to be doing. Until, you know, it looks from everything I'm hearing and seeing about your current setup, are all three the same 3D printer that you're running on?
All three are the same. You know, and you get into different, like, peculiarities. Like, I have one that's 3D printing these. I have another one which I took offline because I was getting this banding, and I don't know why that's occurring. But, I mean, it would be, like, if I handed one to you, it'd be, oh, that's great. But for me, it's like, no, I want it to be.
You want precision, sure.
Yeah, because it's like this thing is, when it's done perfectly printed, it is rugged and strong and nice. And I just want to make sure that. So, like, that one I've got to do tweaking. But, yeah, they've been running. I have one that's been doing all of my ABS parts and stuff. You know, this thing, which I'll show you in a second. So, that's been – I think that, you know, when you want to get – I'm using the FlashForge Creator Pro. I've been having a lot of success with that. We should put our Weird Things Amazon affiliate code on that and link that on there. So,
So we get a sweet kickback.
Yeah, exactly. I've been happy with that, but you can get, and what it is, it's a clone of like of a earlier generation MakerBot when MakerBots were a bit more reliable and good. And so they basically have their own little improvements and stuff on there. And so anyhow, I've got three of those. So, I'm looking at getting like an Ultimaker.
So these are about $1,350 or so.
$1,350. It's $1,000 cheaper than the MakerBot version.
Wow. Well, so here's the thing that just struck me is, and I've never had this kind of business interaction, but we've been talking about all this stuff. I've been bragging about it. And then all of a sudden it hit me. I was like, oh my God, if only I had a magic store that sold magic equipment. And I was like, oh, I should totally buy these and sell them at scamstuff.com. And what we'll of course do is, you know, I can get them from you at normally, traditionally you have like what they call, you know, a jobber cost or a wholesale discount, you know, with the intention of reselling it. But as we're sitting here talking, it occurs to me that for the first time as a provider, I wonder if it would work for me to pay you a license fee and or some amount and actually assemble them here so we don't even have to ship anything.
You certainly could. I would say I would do anything. My only hesitation is that to get to here, it took a lot of figuring out trial and error, kind of like in this material and stuff.
Oh, sure,
and,
sure.
And it would
to learn a bit of craftsman hands in order to do
like
it.
How do you make sure this one works right? But yeah, absolutely. But
here's the thing: is like in a hypothetical 20 minutes, we'll be in a place where inventors or creators won't bother to make.
And I would say
thing.
If you were doing ABS or other materials, I'd say absolutely easier. And yes, and like if you go to make XYZ. You upload the file. They find somebody near you that you can order one. You can order 20. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the answer to that is yes.
But that, I don't know. That's just fascinating to me that all of a sudden that is a – you know, here I am, a dude with a garage in the suburbs running a tiny online store, and it actually might be a sensible decision, if not today, then within a year or 2 years, to just throw a 3D printer in there so that I can pay licenses. You know, like you're the one who created it and developed it, and you're going to send me a file, theoretically, mm-hmm. that all of a sudden I make them and send. I don't know. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah, and totally just takes, you know, an element of the process of being a creator and inventor kind of out that, you know, isn't necessary. It's always one of those, like, shared things you have to learn so you can do the thing that you really like to do, you know?
Yeah.
And as long as those margins can be as good, if not better, for the inventor, more money ends up in the pocket. Well, and quality. And, I mean, that's the biggest thing right now from what I've understood and talking with Andrew is that, like, you know, right now it is stabilizing wizardry. You know, it is getting more reliable that Andrew can leave these things going, you know, pretty much all day, but it's still a bit of a rapids, you know, not knowing, you know, if stuff breaks, how much it's going to cost to fix it, how you fix it, what is something that you got to bring back to the manufacturer, you know, what do you have to do at home? Like, there's just
that's like,
a lot.
Yeah, I have like one printer right now that I switched out one of the nozzles because the carbon fiber like wears through those nozzles. And it's like, oh, tweaking that. But like, this is what I print right now. This is what I get. I print two at a time. And it comes out as this little thing called a raft. And so mm-hmm. I pulled this while we were doing the podcast. This thing was printing. And then I can snap that off. Boom. Done.
Wow.
Okay. Snap that off. Boom. Done. Now I can, you know, I might do a little like have – I have a guy who's going to, you know, go just take a little metal brush inside of it just to get little – any little edgy things off. But this is out of the 3D printer. So there will be a whole – I'm paying somebody to do like a quality control and all that. I'm going to go put them in with the batch.
That is amazing. So while you're doing that, I don't know how much of the, you know, well, I don't know. I guess that's what this show is about, is the behind the scenes stuff. Have you figured out, you know, you obviously have significant sunk costs for your time and obviously your creative energy going into it, but these are, you can pre-order them at $39 a pop. Have you figured out what your expense is per unit, give or take? Now, keep in mind, obviously what you're doing right now wouldn't be very scalable and obviously takes a lot of your time because they have to be babysat.
The material cost on that is like $6 or $7.
Yeah.
Because of the quality of material. If I just made them out of ABS plastic, my material cost is like 50 or 60 cents.
Wow.
So I'm using a much more expensive material. So, you know, like $6 or $7, you figure out your material cost on that. And I'm working to get it in bulk discount. But it, for Magic, it's perfect because Magic items, it's a, you know, the margins on that are, you know, I can, my retail margins, I'm just going to retail for 45 right now. They're $39 at the triggerclip.com, and like that for another three.
And that is a good thing. Magic tends to have a fairly high margin business just because there are so few people who dive in. And oftentimes what you're really paying for is for, you know, the development, the years that went into the routine in order to get to a place where it's ready to go.
Yeah. And I can, and because I'm using the carbon fiber, where some people will pay a little bit more premium because of that, that's justifiable. Now, for another item that I have, another thing that I have made, which I will show you. Let me, I got one over here. I used to, when I used my little flip cam, I used to take a little top of a water bottle.
Oh, good. You told me about this. I can't wait to see this.
Okay, I'd take the top of a water bottle, and then I would put a little screw through there that I can then take a tri. I could, you know, the flip cameras had a tripod mount in the bottom, and I could use that as a steady cam for that. They make a thing now for like GoPros, which is like an aluminum bottle that's a floater and all that. You can do that. But I was thinking, like, man, it'd be cool to do something like that with my iPhone. You know, it'd be cool to make a little thing for that that I could just use that same sort of steady thing. So I said, you know, it'd be cool. I want to make a pistol grip for my iPhone. And so I went through a bunch of variations on this. Then finally, this is the latest version. Actually, this is the second latest version. I got another one here that's all black, but I'll use the, and it's got one little thing change to it. This is what I have now.
All right. So for the audio folks, what I'm looking at is it's a two piece. There's a black piece.
Bumblebee's finger from Transformers.
Looks like that, yeah. So it's like a yellow rectangle, right? Now, I take my iPhone, this iPhone 6 Plus, I slide it into here, and there's a ratchet that I then ratchet up.
So it clamps it on there securely.
Design the ratchet myself, design the whole secure clamp myself, okay?
Nice. And you're holding it, now you said that there's a stabilization element to this as well, right?
So right now it's a pistol grip for my iPhone. Oh. If you wanted to go to a video and you wanted to hold it and not have to hold onto it with your fingers, you hold on to this like this. You hold on to it like a pistol grip. So it's an attachable pistol grip for an iPhone, okay?
Yeah, right.
Right? So now you've got that. That's one step one. It's great. That's really, really cool. Let's say I want to get some really good video and I want to make it very stable and all I have is a water bottle.
That is where it gets to be magic, because you can see right now, and for the audio folks, he just clipped it on. He took the water bottle, clipped it onto the bottom, and so now this is very much how like a glide cam works. It's you got weights balanced with distance underneath so that it smooths out all of the motion, and whatever motion you make is super fluid. And you can see, especially if you got, you know, kind of jittery fingers or whatever, holding it in the pistol grip, here, if you kind of hold it and illustrate it for us. Like, if you're watching it, you see a lot of motion, and a little bit of tilt will make a big impact. And now it really does makes a huge difference on the stability.
So I designed this to take a bunch of different water bottles. So I had to design a special going through all the different ways to try to attach a water bottle to the bottom without you having to open it and make it simple was a chore. And like, and I went and I said, okay, I'm not gonna necessarily have to do the cheap water bottles, but
this is the sound of Andrew walking over to grab
this is the
equipment.
Sound of invention. The shuffling feet of Andrew May. Oh, yeah.
So I said, okay. I said, let me go grab like an Aquafina. Let me grab a smart water bottle. Let me grab that.
That's so
cool.
Because
they're not uniform. These things aren't uniform. But when you get to the cheap ones, it'll hold on to it. Yep. But you have to grip it at the bottom.
Got it.
And where this becomes, you know, we were talking on the Weird
Thing
show.
Wait, Justin. There's one more thing. There's more.
Oh, wait.
So it's a stabilizer, right? But also what I did with my flip camera now is I can set this on my desk.
And it becomes just a stable stand anywhere. You don't have to lean anything up against anything.
That's great.
Sorry, what were you saying, Justin?
I mean, and this that actually makes a whole lot of sense, especially with just even how good the front-facing cameras are. The difference of when, you know, we used to do this stuff with like the flip cameras is that the flip cameras beyond like it was the replacement for your home video camera. You know, it was like, oh, it's great. We got these precious memories easier and quicker. But the audio on it and the video on it were never really good for any kind of like except for the earliest of kind of web video sort of stuff. Now that even as web video has sort of taken a production step up, the cameras that are on your phones now are like damn near broadcast quality. You know,
so people are shooting Sundance films
absolutely
using these things.
And so now with that little bit of stabilization, you go from three people have phones in their pockets to three camera shoots.
Well, and as we talked about with Meerkat too, it's like at this point we did a live studio thing and had people assemble the feeds into
Live, right? Yeah. Like, you know, if you look at, oh, let's throw a little recording thing, you know, a little all around recording microphone in the center, and three people have phones that they already have, make sure they're charged, you know, now you've shot an interview. You've shot something that would take a studio before. You can do it anywhere in the world you want.
One of the things too is like in the design phase, I made the first one and it fit. When I came across, I'll show at some point, I'll put on my blog, I have makeventions.com where I'm posting some of the stuff. What I did was I had things where I had to go a long ways. And again, it was only a couple weeks of just iterating it. And then last week I came to the simplified form factor, but then I'm like, oh, it fits my iPhone 6 Plus in a case, great. You know, but then what about other size phones? And so I started creating adapters and other stuff, and I'm going to show you one second. Hold on.
By the way, I'm at Makeventions right now, and you described the clip-on iPhone earbud before, but I'm loving what I'm seeing of it. Into your ear. That's great.
I'm trying to do this. So this was the version I have here in my hand right now. I'm like, oh, this is great. I was so happy because I could plug my iPhone 6 Plus with my case in there, and it was great. And then this was Friday. I took this over to the Magic Castle lunch and sat around like show and tell to my friends. Everybody there. Everybody's like, oh, we love it. It's great. And this guy who's there, who's with a university, who's had a major journalism department, says, oh, can I get these for my students? That would be great to be able to have them. I'm like, yeah. And then he says, can it work with like an iPhone 5? I'm like, well, I could make an adapter or something, you know. And then it's because I was thinking like, oh, this is the final version. This is ready. And I would maybe make different sized, you know, things to hold on to it. And then I thought about that Friday. Then Saturday, I went to lunch and I said, you know, do I want to release that or do I want to solve this problem? And I thought about it and I thought, you know, I want one. I want if somebody bought one or made one or 3D printed one, because I'll give the plans away for people to use for their own private use away. I thought, I need a better solution. So I took my notepad to Panda Express yesterday about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. Sat down, drew up a bunch of different sketches and stuff. And my biggest thing was like, well, if I do a ratchet system, I got to figure out how to do that, blah, blah, blah. Figured out an idea, said, oh, I know how to do it. And I understand I had only had a couple hours because I had to go take some people to the Magic Castle. Sat down, did one version, looked at it, made a couple tweaks, prototyped it, finished it, had it ready. Within hours, I had this version finally ready. It went from by lunchtime before dinner, I was done, and I had this whole new system that allows me to take. Now I could take, that was my iPhone 6. I can take a iPod Touch and put that in there and ratchet that up. And now it securely holds the iPod Touch too.
Wow, man. That is fantastic.
And here's the thing to think about this is too, in the real world, to go from the one product that I had before and in 12 hours time, I knew there was a problem. 12 hours later, I had a physical solution in my hand, but I only came up with a solution 3 hours before. Now I have this physical thing that's real that does all the things I want it to do.
Yeah. Well, and look, we have Bryce here, Neshcom, who helps shoot Scam School with Brian. Here, go ahead and get a mic. Like, to be able to have somebody, you know, it would only take like one more person to just have a stable, you know, whatever the 720, HD video coming off the iPhone, just to have one more camera at a Scam School shoot for coverage when you guys already have two DSLRs, which it's not going to look like it, but right. As a cutaway shot to something or a reaction to have coverage.
It's always more coverage equals better.
Yeah, there have definitely been times where footage got corrupted or lost that it would have been a lifesaver to just have something for a wide.
When and it would be way cheap.
Yeah.
Compared to a new
Instead of having and people need to know how to run cameras, right?
Right.
Like everyone knows how to run an iPhone.
We could just we could hand an iPhone to somebody and be like, hey, go around and look at cool stuff.
Yeah. Let me talk about, I've had a lot of people say I want one.
Yeah. I was going to say, this seems like the kind of thing that could blow up on a guy.
I just realized that we're like in the middle of the most epic late night QVC. Like, how much would you pay for this? $50.
Let me tell you my plan, my idea. And I want to bounce this off of you guys and everybody listening here. You saw the ear clip. I have other things outside of the camera range I'm working on. Things like this that are, you know, useful or fun or
you
whatever.
You have no idea the inventions that await you.
But you have no idea. And I sometimes I just leave things just lingering around, you know, in front of people to, you know, just whet the appetite.
Yeah.
Anyhow, point is, what I don't want to do is I started Makeventions because I said, you know, I want to put cool projects up there so when people get 3D printers, they have a thing they can do that's fun and cool. Mm-hmm. And I want, when kids get them, I want them to be able to, because I looked at Thingiverse and a lot of that there's not a lot of stuff there that I go, oh, I want to make that. It's always like, well, that's an iPhone case. I have a rule. I call it my Amazon Prime rule. Can I buy it cheaper and have it faster if I just click a button on Amazon?
Right.
Then that's not useful.
It's not compelling, yeah.
And that will change as 3D printers get better and faster and cheaper. But right now, that's my rules. That like anything that I could just get off Amazon Prime right away or whatever, why bother? I thought, like, okay. And I have an idea for a company. We talked about this a little bit before. And this is my thought. Is what if, like, and I started doing spreadsheets and stuff. And I started talking to some people to sort of see, like, what's your thought on this? So imagine if I took this. And I go into a spreadsheet. And I have a spreadsheet that says that my cost of material on this is like 80 cents. Okay.
Yeah.
My 3D printer, it took a 3D printer like 3.5 hours to print this. So 3.5 hours to print this. So one 3D printer gets tied up for, let's say, 4 hours to print this. And it costs, let's say, 80 cents in material. Okay. And then if I figured out, like, what was the cost of the wear on the machine, and then if I had to hire somebody to pull it out of the machine, make it whatever, put it inside of a bag, could I create a business that sold this stuff for almost as dirt cheap as possible, though, but like created super thin margins, but enough margin to pay for machines, to pay for the thing to keep going, and basically just create it to charge enough to keep buying more printers and to hire more designers to create stuff, but not be like, and I'll charge 40% or 50% more on this and try to line my pockets. What if I just tried to create something that wanted to sell
as many as possible?
This is the thing, is the one solution, the obvious one is because you could get a very fat margin on this would sell for $39 or whatever, but it would be a non-sustainable business. At some point somebody would make a knockoff, somebody would do it faster, cheaper, whatever. But if you made it to scale, you built it from the beginning, planning on this being it forever. Sorry, what's that?
No, yeah, you did not race to the bottom. You excavated the bottom.
Yes.
Yeah, like you set up base camp.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that you could do a certain higher margin, and you could get your profits, and you can be, oh, that was fun. But if you said, like, okay, my goal is to buy more 3D printers to make this and other stuff, and to have enough money to then take my ideas and some other people I work with to take their ideas and to put those into production, you know, look at like kind of like looking at the Amazon or the IKEA model, looking at that model of saying, how can I put this out cheap enough that everybody who wants one can get one, enough margin to keep the company kind of going, and not me trying to take out big profits to whatever, like look at it like, okay, I'm going to sacrifice whatever profit I could have just to keep this thing going to sort of build it. So I've been doing spreadsheets and stuff like that to figure out how to make it work, because my goal, like my target price to put this thing out there is like $9.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to make that available for $9 plus like shipping and handling.
What does selfie sticks cost?
What's that?
What's the cost if you just Google selfie stick?
Because those are mass produced now too. The problem is you eventually run into when something has enough market where somebody will do a run of $10,000, you know.
10,000 units. But even then, it's selfie stick is $29.95 on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I mean, but listing like, but a lot of those, like, people are using those now for broadcasting things, which I think is like counterintuitive to what you would actually want for, you know, kind of like broadcasting or shooting video and stuff like that. People use it like as like a crane kind of substitute, or to like make themselves not seem like they are part of the shot. But like something like that would be more effective as a tool for that, beyond just like being far away so the picture like kind of looks better. And you know, if you came in at a third of the cost of that, you know, I think that that's kind of proof of your model.
Well, and but part of what here is the thing too is that, that when you if we wanted to make, let's say we wanted to traditionally manufacture this,
yeah,
we could our price could be anywhere from 10 cents a piece on these, because if we said we're going to order 100,000 pieces and we're going to make our 3D molds, we could order 100,000 pieces, we could have our cost be 10 cents a piece and we could sell for $3 or $4. You could use that traditional. With 3D printing, I know there's a floor. I know I can't charge less than, you know, what my cost of material is.
Yeah.
And I have to figure out how to figure out my 3D printer cost. So I thought, well, that's a helpful starting point, because then you say, oh, what I charge then is I just put a percentage on top of the 3D printed cost.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my model. And I was like, oh, what I'll do is I'll start what it costs me. Then I'll figure in the printer machine where overhead, you know, to pay somebody a labor cost, or have somebody physically take the thing in and out, so I can outsource that, have somebody else do it. But then I can just say, oh, okay, you know, it's going to cost, you know, $8 or $9.
Dude, that's huge. And I love the idea. You keyed into something where it's like, you obviously are taking on the responsibility of having the infrastructure and building it up and handling everything. But when you open up Makeventions to other designers and it just becomes a place to make stuff that gets thrown into this, you know, group store. No.
Oh, no. The idea for Makeventions is, I mean, you do open it up on some level, but it is the curation that makes it the place that you want to go.
Sure.
The biggest problem with the, there's a handful of these sites right now, like Thingiverse and other ones, where everybody can put stuff up there. This is my goal. I would absolutely want to work with other designers. Yes. Yes to that. I do want to work with other people.
But you're not going to be a fire hose of anyone who wants to come in.
Because like, here's the model. This is what I'm planning to do. I'm going to upload this onto Makeventions. I'm going to say, here's the thing. Here's the plans. If you want to make one for yourself, please feel free. It's free. You can do this. If you want to buy one from us, you know, it's whatever the cheapest we can do it at a reasonable sort of thing. We'll put it $9, but have everything be free. But everything I put up there has been 3D made by me or by somebody working there, so we know. Because if you read what I did with the ear clip, I explain this is how I made it, this is the printer I used, this is how much material it did, this is the cost and all that. Because so the problem with a lot of these other sites is you have stuff that you don't know what it's going to cost to build it, how much time it'll work, what printer it will do and all that, because people will just take a CAD program, you know, CAD design and throw it up there. And it's like, no, like I want to say, hey, this is use this material, use this, do that. I would much rather create a really good, as Justin said, curated site and then do what you said, Brian. But yeah, do work with other people. You know, Quirky is a company that works with like different inventors and stuff. And there's always going to be that somewhere between, you know, Netflix and the App Store.
So, like, in this case, like, I got down to the bottom, and I'm reading the blog post about the clip-on earbud, and it does a good job of explaining how, not only where the inspiration comes from, but how to do it and giving tips. And it gets to the end, time to build, blah, 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 this stuff. Download the zipped file here. All I want to do is see the words, or get one now for, you know, have one shipped right now for $8.99. Like, I'm waiting to click on that next item there.
What's the next step, Brian?
Well, it says it's a video of you testing out. Like, I already stopped looking.
Because I don't sell them yet.
I know. Well I'm saying I
well,
want
no, no,
to
no,
see
no.
it.
No. Andrew said, what's the next step?
Yeah. I think I agree. The next I think step that, is selling. That my plan is to figure out, because, like, listen, I'm a busy guy. I can't be sitting in front of a 3D printer all day printing these suckers out. I have friends that are less busy.
Yeah.
And there might be people out there. Like, my thought is, like, I might be, you know, I'm looking at the idea to see the scale, and it might be the kind of thing like you talked about before, like I send you a file. I'm interested in the idea that, like, oh, let's say I put this up and there's enough demand. It might be a thing where I say to somebody, like, you know, cross country, you have a garage, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and there needs to be a certain quality control kind of thing, and say, okay, I'll pay you X per unit to do this. You have to do this.
And think about this. You also, the biggest cost on this becomes the shipping. And, you know, right now with scam stuff, we've got a fulfillment place out in Atlanta, and it's awesome because they're build to scale and they're build to grow. They say when you hit the right amount of volume, it will make sense for you to send another pallet out to our West Coast facility, because then all of a sudden your shipping gets cheaper on all of that side. And it's like the idea of doing that with a bunch of people all over the place, each one having a 3D printer, where it's sort of, I wonder if
maybe, maybe. I mean, I'm looking at like figuring out if I rent space, because the problem, you get into technical things too. Like there can be a, because like you, I can use companies like Make XYZ or whatever and have them ship off one-offs, but there are problems.
No, what I'm thinking is of Airbnb distribution.
Airbnb meets Amazon fulfillment centers.
Correct.
Like, I understand, but there are different scales. Theater Monkey, is that Zach, by the way?
No, Theater Monkey.
No, Theater Monkeys are,
he's Theater Monkey.
Yeah.
Who's Theater Monkey?
He's the Theater Monkey.
I forgot it. Yeah, he's a regular. I've forgotten his name.
What's your name? Yeah, if you're in LA, we'll talk.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. He fixed my bike.
Yeah, no, absolutely, we'll talk. Yeah, I am interested in talking to other people who want to get into this. But my goal right now, what I'm looking to do is to see the scalability of this, maybe, you know, getting some industrial space, putting a bunch of 3D printers in there, and then trying to figure out. Fulfillment is a big, there are pros and cons to using outsourced fulfillment on that. Hello, it's my mother. What are you telling them? What are you doing?
That would be the most interesting part of this podcast. In a podcast that is already so interesting to hear you go over.
Understand, like, my mom's like, she knows I have 3D printers. And then like I called up my mom and said, hey, like after I put the when I did the pre-sale, I called my mom like, hey, just so you know, the first 3D printer paid for itself.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay. You know, it's just. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. I think there are different models. I would for a quality control issue, like I would.
I think that, yeah, that's the big
one. If you can pay somebody to do just to handle shipping or fulfillment full time, best way to do it, you know. And it depends on space and stuff like that. So like I would be looking at like, oh, okay. I've been looking at like, what would it cost me to rent industrial space from Burbank? You know, 600 square feet, 700 square feet. You know, ventilation stuff, whatever. Put in racks of 3D printers, and then figure out like, how do I. You know, first need to have product to do that. But my end goal is really just to create a site where people can download stuff for when everybody has 3D printers in their house is to put that part of the business out of business by creating this digital model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, and really that the uncanny valley element of what you were saying is that if you can reliably say, hey, you're my friend, congratulations. Tuesday, your SourceForge is showing up and you are going to, or FlashForge is showing up and you are going to print out these things whenever you're in Colorado. Whenever Colorado, Nevada order something, I'll send you a thing. You print it out. You slap the label on it. There you go.
Right. Basically, a bell will ring and $5 will arrive.
But if that's the case and you can do that to the scale where and quality assurance, then you might as well just put it out for free because all it takes is...
Well, sure,
is,
and
is
by that thing. Point, you have your reputation, and people still want the stuff, and your reputation is less about the 3D printing or whatever. All they know is that you can get it very cheaply and with low margins.
Or yeah, there are a lot of different... There are considerations, though, too. You have to figure out, like, is it... It's just as cheap to have a person monitor 10 3D printers as it is to have them monitor one, or just as cheap to have them monitor 20. You know, and then you start looking like, oh, well, if I'm paying somebody $15 an hour and I can put them in a room with 30 3D printers, then, you know, I'm paying, you know, 50 cents an hour to have them watch it per device. Oh, that's cheap. You know, that's when it starts to really make – that's more cost effective than actually having a person somewhere else, given these margins where they are, you know. But again, these are all – it's an open discussion. It's trying to figure this out.
I mean, what – you have is a your brain on this, and you obviously have a flair for invention when it comes to this type of stuff, and the ability that you know what other stuff you like or find super clever and interesting, and the idea of the curation I think is very, very powerful.
Hey man, I just got breaking news that there's pizza waiting for us downstairs. Holy cow, congratulations on all of this, Andrew. I'm so excited to see how it goes.
TheTriggerClip.com. How long is it going to be at that low sub $40 price?
Like 3 more days.
So you better go. Here's the deal. If you are a magician, then you like are going to kick yourself if you have to spend the extra $7 when it gets kicked up to $45, because it is a utility that you will use regularly. That's a fact.
Yeah.
My pick is there's a conference called the DLD conference. They just had DLD 15, and there's a speaker who did an amazing 15-minute, very, very fast-paced presentation that I had to pause many times to look at his graphs. He does a great talk calling you the four horsemen, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google, describing just where predict, you know, the, it was talked about predictions he'd made before. Scott Galloway, okay, who does this talk, 15 minutes, it's amazing watching this, explaining the challenges that certain things have been facing, you know, where certain companies are going, who are the winners and losers, the big problem Amazon's facing, and then one of the biggest costs that Amazon is killing Amazon is what they do pay for shipping. And that's why we're talking about using these other models. Like, well, Amazon's fulfillment costs, they pay double on shipping what they take in for shipping. And, you know, they're rapidly trying to figure out other ways in which to make these things available. But there's a right now they're subsidized by so much investment capital that they can sort of knock out all the competitors, but they're running into problems. And so it's a fascinating talk to watch this guy give it. And then he gets into talks, the last section's talking about how Apple has managed to hit all these interesting quadrants between, you know, practicality, luxury, et cetera, and why they'll be probably a $1 trillion company. Very persuasive, very interesting talk. So
awesome.
DLD, the Four Horsemen, and that is Scott Galloway.
Sweet. I think our clip, our picks are the trigger clip. All right, we got to go eat pizza.
I got to go find lunch. You guys are interested in bottle grip or whatever I'm calling it, whatever, either getting one or maybe helping me out with it, whatever questions, just hit me up, amain@gmail.com.
Yeah, dude. No, anybody in L.A., Andrew's building an army, and all you got to do is watch 3D printers. So go ahead and do that immediately.
All right, guys. It's been after.
It's been after.
Well,
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.